Lord, we have been already blessed from thy word in this day, to the Bible class discussion, to the morning message. We pray, Lord, that we would receive another blessing from thee by the unction of thy Holy Spirit and in spite of the speaker. Bless us, Lord. We thank thee and praise thee as our Lord, as our Savior, as our Redeemer. Lord the Father, we pray all things in the name of thy beloved Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've been invited to spend a solemn hour. What does that word solemn mean to you and to me? And it says, at the tomb where Jesus lay. So, solemnity comes not with something that you and I bring, but something that has to do with Lord Jesus Christ. And especially with his death and his resurrection. I thought how very often when I speak here and when I sit down, I remember things that I wanted to say and I forgot. So I told Ronnie, if that happens to him, we'd be glad to accommodate him, but he didn't take it. Very inspiring message. The thoughts that were brought in this morning, even though the scripture is familiar, but the beauty of the scripture is that we read the same text, we hear the same words, but the Lord brings us different meaning or different thoughts. Lord, I would follow you whithersoever thou goest. This is old King James language. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. He says, yes or no? He said, the foxes of the earth have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay down. He said, I'm not trying to redo your message, Brother Ron. You know what I thought? What a life. The Lord did not have a place that he knew is going to lay down his head that night. In our time, in our circumstances, that would be called total irresponsible. How can you be a grown man and not planning any of your future? But you know, I thought something else. You know, we're planning to go on a trip next week, Lord willing. And for every night, I have made a plans. At least I think I know where I'll be spending every night in the next 3 weeks. How different is that from what Jesus said? You want to follow me? You want to be my example? Look how far exactly opposite I am, and maybe you too. We just think it's so necessary to plan out every steps. And the saying goes, when you plan something, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it minimizes the surprises. Enough said about it. Points were beautifully made. All the consequences of the conditions that we are to follow, if we want to follow Jesus, what does it mean? For this afternoon, I've been struggling all week. I wanted to open here, open there. And the Lord just would not let me go to any other scriptures than First Epistle to Corinthians in the first chapter. And I, up to this point, I really don't know what the Lord wants me to say or wants us to hear. I have not calculated lately how long I've been preaching the gospel, but you know, I have yet to have any member tell me, Brother Zoran, preach from this chapter or this verse. You know, you would be doing us a big favor if you do that sometimes. Some things are so obvious that if you just read it, you know, you feel you should just read it and sit down. Anyways, this is Apostle Paul writing to Corinthians church, a busy port city, all things going on. He spent about 18 months in that city establishing the church, and now he is not there, but he is sending the message. So let's read it. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, to whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division amongst you, but that you be perfectly joined together or united together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto you, to me, of you, brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, or this is what I heard, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish thing the wisdom of this world? For that after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is just an introduction, so to say. There are two epistles to Corinthian church. There are many chapters, many verses. And he just begins by stating his own calling. It is Paul the apostle, Paul who is called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And there is a co-laborer, there is a co-worker there, Sosthenes. And to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Paul was also called to be saint. This is what you and I are also called to be. Sanctified, set aside, set apart for the purpose that God will make for your life and mine. On top of that basic calling that we discussed a little bit in the Bible class, the foundation, the milk of the world, there is an additional calling apostle has, and that is to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, one who is particularly sent for a special purpose. And he reminds the church that you are called to be saints. And down in the verse 9, it says, we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is giving them a greetings of grace and peace. There's no more beautiful greetings to be than to have a grace of God and peace with God. And also peace as much as light in us with all men. Remember, follow peace after all men and godliness, without which no one shall see God. But that peace must rest on the fellowship with Lord Jesus Christ, with the unity of Lord Jesus Christ. So if I had to characterize this first chapter, or maybe this message, is unity in the church. This is what he is addressing, or rather, the signs of disunity in a church. Greetings of grace and peace. And thanksgiving. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace which is given you by Jesus Christ. He's thankful that they obtained that grace, that they received that grace, that they're enriched through that grace. In everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge. And that the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, confirmed in us. So that you came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. You have not been shortchanged, and I have not been shortchanged of any gift, anything that comes together with that calling to unity, calling to be saints, calling into the fellowship with Lord Jesus Christ. And then the plea, the introduction of many reasons for this epistle to be written. And the first one is, I beseech you, brethren. Remember, I'm apostle. I have authority to command you. But I beseech you. I was reminded in the past few Sundays, I talked to you a little bit about my young days. I talked to you about that one teacher, Radenko Savic, that I had, that I ran in trouble because of some military situation. He had a habit of saying, I beseech you. In Serbian, I molim vas. He said, I beseech you. But the plea of an older person for a young person is a command. And he would always say that. I beseech you, by plea of an older person is a command for you. I remember repeating that to my dad, and he sort of smiled. He said, yeah, he's right. He's right. That's how it ought to be. I don't know if it's still today. Now I'm an older person. I'd like to take some benefits of that. Are you buying into that philosophy? Not in the sense that you have to please the old guy. You know, please the Lord. That goes for young and old and middle-aged. Another reason I remember this teacher this week, or he told me, Radenko Savic will be long dead and buried, but you will live to see the day when you're going to put a backpack and there's a helicopter on top of it, and you're going to say, I'm going to the Paris for an opera performance tonight. We haven't seen that, but if you notice this week, there was a Frenchman who had a board, and he flew from France across the British Channel. And I thought, you know, Radenko Savic was right. That's pretty much the same thing. But do you remember 1980 Olympics in Los Angeles? Do you recall that there was a man who flew into the Colosseum? And they kept it hush-hush. It's all military secret, and it's all supposed, technology was supposed to be for only military purpose, you know. Well, it sneaked out, so after that it may come to for some civilian use. They're using the drones now. Amazon wants to deliver packages and so forth. So things are coming. Back to basic plea, that the first plea that apostle has is, I beseech you, brethren, and not in the name of Apostle Paul, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, that you be perfectly joined, perfectly united, together in the same mind, in the same judgment, in the same purpose. And what other thing is that can unite us if not the Word of God, the purpose of Jesus Christ in your life and mine? We're so different. We have different ideas, different conception, different pursuit. And he is not telling us that we should dress alike, look alike, have a same house, same car. He said that you be same-minded, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment concerning Jesus Christ, his purpose for coming, his will for your life and mine. And then he freely tells them what he has heard and even gives the source. One says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. As far as we know in the scripture that is recorded, and John says more than one place, there are many things that are not recorded. But from what is recorded in the Bible, we have no indication that division sprang from the leaders, that they somehow wanted to make a faction. It seems they sprang from the bottom. And why is Paul warning against that? First of all, whether Paul, whether Peter, whether Apollos, they were all ministers, they're all servants for the purpose of God. But above all, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul or Peter or Apollos? That was the work of the Holy Spirit. That was the work of God performed by fallible man, not to glory in themselves, but to honor, do the will of the Lord, and honor that commandment. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every nation, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, even unto the end of the ages. That was a commandment that they just gave themselves to it. And they don't seem to have been minded, but people look at the individuals. People sometimes like the eloquency of one over the other, maybe division of labor, sympathy, and people tend to compartmentalize, tend to create those factions. And we don't have time to go into the following chapters. Apostle basically saying, any honor that you give to yourself or anybody else around you, that detracts from the honor that ought to be given to the Lord. There may be division of labor. I was reminded my first years in Pico Rivera Church. There was John Swinford and Mike Oslin and John York, I believe. And somebody noticed that John Swinford was doing most of the weddings. Mike York was doing most of the funerals. So Mike came up with that saying, you marry them, I'll bury them. How is that? How is that for popularity things? What are the chances somebody else that you buried will vote for you or create a group for your favor, you know? That was the furthest thing of your mind if you focus on what the Lord wants for you and me to do. So, apostle, as much as, you know, he said, you came behind in no gift. You were given all the benefits. You were given all the gifts. You were given wherewithal to be what you ought to be. But now, take a look at your actions, and you seem to be wearing off, you know, rather than looking at the beyond the plow, as Brother Ron mentioned this morning. Instead of looking at the final goal, you're looking, well, you know, Apollo is really eloquent, you know. He has a way with words, and so maybe I'll be a little bit partial to him. You know, and Apostle Paul, in the very next chapter, he says, and brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. And that may have not been a false humility on his part. Some were saying that, you know, he writes pretty good letters, but when he speaks, he's not much of a speaker, you know. Just enough to start that spirit of partiality, that spirit of fraction or division and so forth. Paul says, let the church have none of that. Let all fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ on his sacrifice and what he done. And he said, the preaching, the preaching that we do, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Jews require a sign of power, and the Greeks aspire for wisdom. You know, and they attain it to a certain extent. But preaching of the cross is total weakness, not a total strength, not a wisdom, but a foolishness. But we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews the stumbling block, and unto Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, that are truly called by God and willing to follow, Christ, the power of God and wisdom of God. He is both power and wisdom and everything else that comes with it. Because it comes from God, and foolishness of God is wiser than man, and weakness of God is stronger than man. As it were that God has a weakness. You know, he's just saying, this is so beyond our realm that we need to look at that ultimate source. The bottom line is, he doesn't want us to honor each other beyond the normal love and fellowship. Let no flesh glory in his presence. When we are comparing anyone or anything to Jesus Christ, to the calling that he has called us with, then there is no place for self-boosting. Or sometimes we don't like to boost ourselves, but we like to boost somebody else. Maybe it's our son or a daughter, father, mother, cousin. Let no flesh glory in his presence. We're here to glorify one and only one, Father of all glory, Jesus Christ. Amen.